Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, sadly, it's 1 in 3 women in general, about 1 in 4 women in the church will experience domestic abuse. And domestic abuse is about 90% female and 10% male, so we're not leaving any men out if you happen to be, unfortunately, in that situation. But the one question is, what does it look like? Because a lot of us just kind of assume, well, maybe it's somebody that yells a lot and gets physical. But there's a whole lot more to it. And as we've talked about this many times on the show, which we should, and we'll continue to do so, I referenced something that my friend Joy Forrest kind of got me connected with, which is called the power and control wheel, which begins to show you, ladies, if you're already down this road. Sadly, a lot of this might sound familiar, but intimidation, emotional abuse, isolation, minimizing, denying, and blaming, using the children, economic abuse, male privilege, coercion, and threats, whether it's physical violence, sexual violence, and just all of those different factors that go into what domestic abuse looks like. It's running rampant. We talk about the life issue all the time, as we should, because almost about the same. It's about 30 to 40% of women in America will have an abortion by the time they turn 40. And that's something that gets a lot of attention, but domestic abuse sadly does not, unless, of course, you're a part of it. And even then, oftentimes, it doesn't come out of the closet and continues to happen in the dark. And that's obviously a problem. And so Joy Forrest is the founder of Called to Peace Ministries. She's been on the show many times. And so she's with us here today in the studio, as well as Pastor Andre Turrentine. You're going to talk to him and find out his story. He's also on the board. And then we're going to be hearing from Pastor and Biblical Counselor Chris Moles, who will be calling in a little bit. And we'll talk to him as well, because there's a couple of conferences coming up that Called to Peace is doing here in Raleigh. That's on April 3rd. And fourth for everybody, but April 2nd in particular, which we'll have a little bit of a focus today, a little bit more of a focus on pastors and ministry leaders, because that's the front line, or it should be the front line. Oftentimes it is not. But Joy and Andre, welcome to the show. Good to see you again. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. So, Joy, kind of help us understand the problem from a church perspective. I think we all understand the problem in general, but from a church perspective, we talked about this many times over the years. What is the problem? What's the church doing? What is it not doing? And what should it do?
Well, I think that the church doesn't understand because, as a former victim, I can tell you that most of us don't come out and tell people, hey, I'm being abused. We come forward as confused and wondering what's wrong in our marriage. We know something's wrong, but we might not ever put the label abuse on it, for one thing. And then, when a couple shows up to a pastor for marital problems, they're going to treat it like a marital problem, but that's not what domestic abuse is. It's an oppression problem. And so when pastors don't understand what they're looking at, they can't deal with it effectively.
Yeah, and so whether it's this issue, of course, over the years, in the Catholic Church in particular, but this happened in the Southern Baptist Convention over the last couple of years, you hear about sexual abuse, which is generally about young people, but we don't really, this one doesn't come out of the closet very much. Like I said, unless you're actually a part of it, if you're a man who's abusing your wife, we'll talk about that, but you certainly should know. You do know what you're doing, and women that are involved and are the victims, of course, know. But largely in the church, why do you think we've struggled with it? We're not talking about every church is bad about that, but most churches are probably, is negligent, is that an okay word?
I don't know if I would go there anymore. I used to think it was extremely negligent. I thought it was heartless. that's just the way it seemed, because I've seen so many women, and I've worked with, hundreds of women at this point, and so many that underwent church discipline when they went forward. But what I understand now is that the effects of trauma, most of the women that we work with have some form of traumatic stress, and so they don't present very well. But abusers can present beautifully. They can look like they're repentant. Even if they're caught, they'll admit to a small portion of it, and they will be so repentant by in word only. And so then the church is like, what's wrong with you? He's repenting. And so not understanding what true repentance looks like, It makes a difference. And so,
because abusers, by definition, are manipulative.
They're very manipulative. And so I think that they've had the wool pulled over their eyes, the church has. And just like us, you know, those of us who have been victimized, I didn't recognize it as abuse. So why would I expect the church to recognize it?
So ignorance might be a better word.
Yes.
And not necessarily in an ugly way, but just... Yeah, it's just a reality, just kind of ignorant of the fact. Andre, let me pull you in here. And you're a pastor, Shepherd's Well Church in Raleigh, and also on the board at Called to Peace. So from your perspective, and I know part of your perspective is historical as well from your own background. But kind of fold that into how you got involved with Called to Peace, and now you're on the board. And from a pastoral perspective, how do you kind of approach this issue of domestic abuse?
Well, fortunately, part of my training and education was to do a stretch with urban ministry, and I was connected with Interact, which is a domestic violence shelter. And in the process of doing that, I actually saw people that were walking through a life that I had seen. And once I graduated, I was still seeking for other ways to impact and do something in that area. And when I met Joy, and she described what Call to Peace was doing, and so I've been driven for that. I agree that a lot of it is ignorance, but I think it is a politeness of the church. We as pastors and lay people that are really interested in ministry don't want to get into people's business. They think it's a private matter, and they don't understand how this matter will spill over into so many other areas. If you're not speaking to it, then you're almost condoning it. And if men aren't standing up specifically, then it looks like it's all right. It's a good old boy network. And you just don't know who to trust in those situations. And that's what I find, that a lot of women don't know who to trust. Yeah. They've been covering their husbands, and so they don't expose what they're doing in hopes that he's going to turn it around. It was a bad day. And as a result of covering him, they basically allow that practice to keep on going.
Yeah, it's kind of enabling.
Right. And then when it's time to make a move, or we're pressed to the point where they can't do anything else, they say something, and then people don't believe or respond in the way that they think, because he was just great yesterday last week.
Yeah. And you mentioned that too, Joy, that most abusers are master manipulators, and they cover very well. And they oftentimes, the wife or the one being abused looks like the one that's out of their minds.
Yeah, because they're traumatized. And even that, you know, you were talking about the way that they enable. It's not even enabling. Yeah. It's just a trauma response.
Yeah, we're talking about domestic abuse today. We're also going to be talking to pastor and biblical counselor Chris Moles. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show, talking about Called to Peace Ministries and some important events coming up. We'll be right back.
Waiting for a message in the sky, a miracle aside from above.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show, talking about something that we should all be talking about more often, and that's domestic abuse, and whether it's physical, emotional, mental, sexual, financial, control, coercion. It's always about power and control. And so there's a lot of different options there, sadly, when it comes to domestic abuse. It's not just the black eye and the bruised ribs, okay? There's a whole lot more to it than that. And the reason that we have talked about it every year on this show is because of Joy Forrest, who's the founder of Called to Peace Ministries. And I don't even remember how we met. Did you dog me to get on here? And
yes, I did.
Needed to talk about it. Praise the Lord for it. So, so thank you for doing that. So Joy is here, the founder of Called to Peace Ministries, as well as Pastor Andre Turrentine is here. And then Chris Moles, who's a pastor and a biblical counselor and the author of The Heart of Domestic Abuse, is going to be joining us as well in a minute. But Joy, just remind people, some people that have been listening for a while will remember you, and you've been on several times, but just kind of remind them why you're so passionate about this.
Well, when I was 14, I met a young man who I was started dating, and by the time I graduated from college, we were still dating. I had seen maybe some red flags, but he was abused as a child, or his mother was being abused, and he was abused himself, and he hated it. So I thought I didn't have a thing to worry about. He proclaimed Christianity and Jesus, and so I thought, well, God will have to bless it. So we got married, and it wasn't physically abusive in the beginning, but within 3 years it became that way. But there was a lot of intimidation. I lived in constant fear. And during our marriage, which lasted 15 years, I reached out to, I count 12 different pastors and counselors for help, and nobody knew how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I wasn't going to say I'm being abused when I went in, but nobody, even though I would say he's angry, they wouldn't separate us. They didn't know how to ask the right questions to get to the bottom of it, and then I was afraid to tell the whole truth. And so over the years, those attempts to go for counseling and trying to get help was just so frustrating. And finally, I didn't believe in divorce, but it got so physically abusive towards the end that I thought if I didn't get out, I would not live. So I remember telling God, Lord, if you help me live through this, I'll help other women in this kind of situation. And he kind of has held me to it, because as soon as I got out, I had other people asking me, well, how did you do that? You know, they hear your story, and then they start coming out of the woodwork. And so I ended up getting a job, and this was a God thing, at a domestic violence shelter, seeing Christian women walking in the door saying, why does my pastor care more about my marriage than my life?
Right. You've mentioned that so many times, because, and you always do, that we approach this, that it's a marriage divorce issue as opposed to being an abuse issue.
Right.
And it's like, well, you can't get a divorce. I'm like, call the cop. Well, why aren't you even talking to me about divorce right now? We have a dangerous situation for a lot of people, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, whatever the case may be. And so then you have eventually got your biblical counseling degree.
Right. Yeah. So I got the degree in biblical counseling and began church counseling, and would see the way that it was being counseled, even though I was trying to be involved. I hadn't really worked through a situation like that. Didn't know how that would look if we were going to make it work. And I still love the idea of marriage. Didn't want to see people divorce. So actually got involved in counseling situations where they were working on reconciliation and doing it, trying to do it the safe way, separating people. But I would still hear counsel coming out of other counselors' mouths saying, well, you've got to submit to him, because he's as long as he's not asking you to sin. And what that does is it feeds the abuser's sense of entitlement. So again, all of these things combined just gave me such a heart and a passion to help churches better understand, so that we can help women who are being oppressed in their homes.
And Pastor Andre Turntine's here with us, who's from Shepherd Well Church in Raleigh. But so as she unpacks all this, and now you're on the board at Called to Peace, does this all kind of fit well into a pastoral perspective? Like, this should be a normal part, unfortunately, of a pastor's role in a church, and a church's role in the community, in its own body especially.
It should fit naturally. Pastors are the first line of defense, or first responders in many cases. People that are in trouble come to their pastor seeking help. And unfortunately, we don't always identify it. You know, we have this idea that we are leading sheep. There might be some big sheep, might be some fluffy sheep, might be some of different colors, even some sheep dog. We know what their duty is in there. But when a wolf in sheep clothing appears, it presents a totally different atmosphere. And it requires us to boldly get into someone's business, things that are supposedly behind doors. And that doesn't go well. Often we're supposed to be hold people's confidence, and a lot of times abusers will work that to their advantage. You know, they know that you're not supposed to say anything, so if you do, you're out of line.
So they're manipulating.
They'll manipulate the situation. And to be honest, that's one of the big things about this conference that's coming up on April 3rd and 4th, is to help the pastors and those lay leaders and those that are interested in helping people come through abuse to understand the practice of it. Because it does affect and connect into so many other areas that we can't actually fit it into a pastoral role. We need to fit it into a pastoral role, a police issue, a legal issue, counseling issues, and understand that it has to be worked together as a team. That's the other part that I really appreciate about the work that Call to Peace does, along with Chris Moles, is that we are pushing a team effort, collaborative or cooperative. There's a different word that we use.
I mean, you see that because we mentioned the conference. So to get that information, we're putting the links up on Facebook Live right now. So if you go to the Steve Noble Show Facebook page, you can see it there. Or just go to calledtopeace.org. That's T-O, called to peace.org. org. Click on the events banner up top and you'll see it. Building a Church-Wide Coordinated Response to Domestic Abuse, that's on April 2nd, and that's a pastoral and ministry leaders focus. And then the next 2 days, April 3rd and 4th, Wisdom Calls, Wise Responses to Domestic Abuse and Coercive Control in the Church. That's for everybody, but yeah, that's what you're talking about, this kind of coordinated response. You've got lay people, you've got pastors, you have ministries like Called to Peace, and all of that has to work together, Joy. And we're going to bring Chris up after the break. So, Chris, well, what choice do you have, Chris? Be patient. I'll pull you up after the break. But that's really important. So have you seen the fruit of that as you guys have been working on this for the years that we need to kind of come together and have a coordinated effort here?
Absolutely. Just because of the, again, we've mentioned it so many times, manipulative nature of abusers. There's so many facets, and you cannot bring the men together for marital counseling. That does not work. We know that it doesn't, not only does it not work, but it makes things so much worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're probably endangering a victim more when you do that. So, and again, it's so, what's the word I'm looking for? It's very under the radar. So it's so hard to recognize. And so this is where having advocates can really make a difference. And we at Called to Peace have an advocacy training program that we've started, and it's making a huge difference when an advocate can go in, because you just imagine you've got this traumatized woman who's kind of maybe sounds irrational and goes and talks to the pastor, and then the rational-sounding abuser comes in. So who's he to believe? If you've got an advocate who can sit down with her and talk to her and get her story and see, does this match our patterns, then it makes a huge difference in how the whole thing's going to be approached.
And at this point at Call to Peace, you're seeing such a massive increase in people reaching out to you. What did you say? You threw a number out there earlier when we were on the break.
300% growth in the last 2 years.
Yeah, and normally we would say, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's not, but it is, because at least they're reaching out and getting help. We'll talk to Pastor and Counselor Chris Moles when we come back. Welcome back. It's the Steve Noble Show. This is Steve Noble talking about domestic abuse today. 1 in 3 women in general. What about 1 in 4 women in the church? This is a pervasive issue. Just on Facebook Live today, several people have been sharing their stories. I've gotten private messages on Facebook before because people know that I know a lot of people. I'm connected with a lot of different ministries. And occasionally people will say, hey, here's a situation. I'm trying to help some friends or whatever the case may be. And I end up pointing them to Joy Forrest, who's the founder of Called to Peace Ministries, because this is all over the place. We're very aware of the abortion industry. We're very aware of those numbers. We're 60 million and counting. We're still about a million a year. We're at about 18,000 a week. Those numbers come right out of me like I'm breathing, because I've been talking about it, and it's such a massive issue. But domestic abuse, same thing in the church. 1 out of 4, 1 out of 3 women, and about 30%, as high as 40% of women will have an abortion by the time they turn 40. So this is a massive problem that unfortunately doesn't get anywhere near the attention that it should, which is why we're always grateful to have Joy Forrest in here with us, who's the founder of Called to Peace Ministries. Andre Turrentine, Pastor Andre's here as well. And then Chris Moles, who I'm going to take off of hold. Chris was beginning to wonder, Chris, if you were still on a radio show today, but I appreciate your patience, and it's great to have you back on. We really appreciate you coming to town and helping out Joy and Called to Peace Ministries. It's great to have you back on. How are you?
Going great, Steve. Thanks for having me. Andre, Joy, it's good to be on with you guys, too. Looking forward to coming downtown and helping everybody out.
Yeah, we're excited to have you here. That's April 2nd is the Pastoral and Ministry Leaders event, and then the 3rd and the 4th is for everybody else. And so you can get that information, calledtopeace.org. Just click on the events banner up at the top, called, C-A-L-L-E-D, to peace, T-O-peace.org, and you can get that. Plus, we have the links up on Facebook Live right now. But Chris, tell us a little bit about how you got into this arena and your book as well, The Heart of Domestic Abuse. You're very well known in this arena. And how did you kind of get into it? And then I want to talk to you about the problem today and kind of get your reflection, because you've been listening while you've been on hold. And I also want to talk to you about ministering to the abuser, because my first inclination is not to think of them at all, at least not in any kind of a loving way.
Right. Yeah, so that's actually how I got drawn into the work. I was already in pastoral ministry at that point. I've been in pastoral ministry for 20 years and was looking for opportunities to engage the community, and began working part-time in corrections and just as an educator through our local day reporting center, and one thing led to another, and I was invited in to a batterer intervention program. It was a court-ordered intervention program for men who were convicted of domestic violence crimes. At the same time, I was pursuing my master's in biblical counseling, and those two worlds just merged together perfectly. But one thing I discovered early on was that there was little to no material written or produced from a conservative Christian perspective. And so I just immersed myself in the work and really fell in love with the work, especially as I got to know victims and advocates, and just saw it as a real gospel opportunity. And of course, working specifically with perpetrators, which I was doing, lent itself to just a unique perspective. And so that's where the book came from. It was birthed out of my master's thesis and the work that I was doing in corrections.
And then what about just, we've been talking, and I, like I mentioned, I know you've heard some of this, but we've been talking since the start of the show about the church's response, whether it's ignorance, and I don't mean that in an ugly way, just kind of trying to get our hands around why it's the church's response is so kind of anemic or weak. And again, I'm not trying to be a church basher here, but speak to that aspect of this reality.
Well, sure. I think one thing, I think to be completely honest, it's not just the church that's anemic. This is a socially, this is a social problem that the society's ignorant of, I really believe. I think from the top down, there's a very poor response when it comes to violence against women in particular. The church just happens to be an institution that has fallen into that same trap. I do think in many cultural responses, we're decades behind sometimes the culture. And of course, abuse has been one of those characteristics. On the more sinister side, on the more unfortunate, sinful, wicked side, I think we have had a tendency to hide, put our head in the sand, as it were, to not engage good resources, and to inadvertently, I think sometimes, and sometimes overtly, but most of the time inadvertently, blame victims for the work and cite really poor, pseudo, faux versions of good theology to suit our comfort level, to remain disengaged.
Yeah, that's such an important thought that we all need to wrestle with. So in terms of kind of engaging the church and enabling people in training and helping people, kind of talk about that, because we were talking about before the break, kind of a group effort. You've got lay leaders, you got pastors, you got all kinds of people involved, people like Joy at Called to Peace. So talk about the need to kind of train all that up and start to equip ourselves to get out there and deal with this more effectively.
Yeah, so I'm a big believer in a team-based approach or an all-hands-on-deck mentality to this type of response, because abuse is such a complex issue. I say it's akin to fishing with a bait caster. You know, if you've ever done that, you don't put your thumb on the line at the right time, it'll bird's nest. And there's so many complexities to this problem that we're going to require more than one perspective. And so I love counseling. I want counseling to be part of the perspective, but it's not the only perspective. We need education. I love education, but it's not the only perspective. I love shepherding. I'm a pastor, but it's not the only perspective. And so it's important to have multidisciplinary approaches so that we're actually comforting victims and confronting abusers. Because as you've already been talking, as I've been listening in on your conversation a little bit, manipulation and coercion are so key to this work that without somebody watching my blind spots, I'm pretty prone to getting suckered in. The same would be true for Joy and for Andre. As long as the three of us have been in this work, we still know that we're susceptible to our blind spots. And that's why it's important to have other team members, other people looking over our shoulder. And that's why church-based training is helpful in multiple layers. I think first we need awareness training. We have to know the dynamics of impact, but we also need some specialists, some people in our community, whether it's our local church or another local church, that's really taking the time to take an advocacy course like what Called to Peace offers, or to go through a local intervention program like what I do, and to really grow in our response. Because again, we're going to need counselors, educators, advocates, pastors, all working together, not to mention the criminal side. If we cross that line where we're going to need law enforcement, judges, and criminal-based advocates.
Yeah, and so speak to that, Joy, because he's talking about the training. Who should get trained? Because you've got a lot of different players here. You've got, I think, Christian maturity matters. I think it would matter based on whether they've actually been abused before or not. They're going to come from a unique perspective there. So just speak to people, all of you, just in terms of who should be a part of this particular type of training that you guys are doing in April.
I'm sorry, Joy, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I thought you wanted to say something. I was going to say, I heard you start to say something, so I'll stop. Go ahead.
I think the more severe the problem, the more mature the response. So I love the word mature. I do think that what's going to happen April 2nd, 3rd, and 4th should be open to everyone because we're all coming in at different levels. And so, to me, the entire church should be aware of the problem so that we can effectively practice the one another's. But there are going to be some mature responses, and that's very scriptural. Like, even if you just think of Galatians chapter 6, and I use that passage a lot in my abuser confrontation training, right? If anybody's caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one with all gentleness.
That's right.
And don't be tempted in the same way in which they sin, right? So I can't bully the bully. I've got to be gentle. But understand that God won't be mocked. A person will reap what they sow. So I'm not so worried about the consequences. They will take place. God's sovereign over that. I'm worried about giving truth and then affecting or enacting those consequences if I'm an authority. So you're right. I think a spiritually mature person needs to be engaged at the higher level.
Yeah.
I do think survivors make great advocates, but as Joy can tell you, I think it's a problem when survivors jump into advocacy without first jumping into Jesus and growing and healing.
That's a great point. Joy, speak to that because... Like, how long did it take from you escaping that situation at home till you started getting your volunteering, but then when you're actually leading and counseling? Because I think that's a really important point.
Yeah. And even I think the Lord did a great healing work in my life, and it took about 3 to 5 years. I mean, because I had severe PTSD, really. And it took time to get over that. It took time to untwist all the lies I'd come to believe, because that's what happens is your thinking gets so warped. When I look back at my journal, I think, wow, I can't believe I thought that way, but I did. And it's like a very gradual brainwashing that occurs. It's kind of like being indoctrinated into a cult, so your thinking changes. And that takes a long time to untwist.
To undo that.
And so I think that, you know, we want survivors to come. We'd love to see, any kind of people helper, people who love survivors and want to help. And we would even, welcome those who are going to work with perpetrators as well.
Chris, I'm going to put you on hold. We're talking to Chris Moles, who's a pastor and counselor and author. Also, I have Pastor Turrentine in here. And then we've got Joy Forrest, who's the founder of Called to Peace Ministries. And another friend on Facebook just said, I felt like this was something I deserved, as crazy as that may sound, which is echoing what you just said, that you actually think you're the blame for it. But no, the abuser is the one to blame. Let's make sure we know that. We'll be right back. Back at Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about domestic abuse today with our friends from Called to Peace Ministries. Joy Forrest is here, and Andre Turrentine is here as a pastor as well. And Chris Moles, who's a pastor and biblical counselor, is on hold, and we'll bring him back into the conversation in a second. I do want to remind you of something. It's an opportunity I mentioned last week, but I haven't brought it up since. In terms of marriage in general, one of the best things you can do for your marriage is to get a tune-up. So to get as much biblical teaching and leadership on that, I don't know, Joy, if you've been through Danny Aiken's teaching on marriage and family, but I roped him into this, and so we're doing kind of a mini conference. It's a Friday night and a Saturday morning coming up at the end of the month. Danny Aiken's a phenomenal teacher, the president here at Southeastern. He's really, really good on the marriage issue. He's got several different sessions that he does. It's very, very powerful. My wife and I have been through it ourselves. And you need to kind of scripture-proof your marriage. We have to – don't ever think that your marriage is not susceptible to all kinds of problems. One Puritan writer once said, the seed of every sin exists in every human heart. So nobody's completely out of the realm of having things go really south in a marriage. So to get more information, I'm going to make it really easy. Just text the word marriage. Okay, that's all you need to do. If you don't know how to do that, get a – teenager to do it for you. But text the word marriage to 66866, and then we'll just email you the information. Okay, it's nice and easy. March 27th and 28th. But on the subject today, I thought I should probably mention that because it's such an important topic, marriage, and we're talking about the confines of marriage when it comes to domestic abuse. So just text the word marriage to 66866, and we'll send you the information. Andre, I wanted to bring you in because we were talking with Chris and Joy about who should get trained and who should get involved. So speak to pastors and people that are on staff and even people that most of us attend a church, why we should encourage our pastors and pastors specifically to come out for this training April 2nd and then April 3rd and 4th.
Gotcha. You know, when in life, most of us at some point have probably taken a flight, a plane ride, and on that plane, they'd go through the things. If the cabin pressure changes, something's going to fall.
Yeah.
They don't care what your position is
That's
or where
right.
you're seated. Everybody gets that message.
Yeah.
So because this is something that happens in people's lives that we do life with, I'd like to see everybody be exposed to the information, but pastors especially. I did a lot of lay ministry early on. And then when I really and truly felt the Lord calling me to do more, the first thing I did is to go get training. Mm-hmm. I wanted to understand more of what pastoring was. And in this regard, when you understand that you're in the middle of a domestic violence situation, things change so quickly. And you realize how out of your depth you are.
Yeah, yeah.
And in most cases, pastors aren't, we practice coolness.
Yeah.
Control.
Yeah.
Exuding that confidence, even when we know we truly are relying on God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, so I think that pastors are actually a different breed when it comes to this because of their confidence, because of their their ability to connect with people,
mm-hmm.
their influence, their perceived power.
Yeah, yeah.
They are attractive
they
to.
They have a position of authority.
They have a position of authority, and that is attractive to an abuser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to be a part of that flock that has this
so
kind of control.
So you would think they would distance themselves, but they actually wouldn't.
No. And
it's all about power.
You'll find that they are quick to want to rub elbows with the pastor.
Wow.
And the pastor gets to the point where they think this is chummy. But unless you're understanding the flow of the music, per se, you don't hear that unless there's a drastic scratch in the record.
Yeah,
you
such
know,
an important
point. In the hip-hop area, they've made an art to that.
I gotcha.
But when it changes directions quickly and you catch a hint of that, you've got to know and be able to identify what's going on, and we're just not equipped. So it's good to be able to reach out and to counsel up, as they say.
Oh, man,
and that's what we do when it comes to connecting with organizations like Call to Peace Ministries.
Well, listen, the reality is if you've got 25% of the women in your church this weekend that are involved in domestic abuse in one way or another, and you're not ready to handle that, you're not equipped, you're not trained, you're not able.
And you're not listening.
And you're not listening. And that's a colossal problem, Pastor Chris Moles, because you got all those problems. They're sitting right there in your church this Sunday, and you're not equipped to handle it or even to kind of throw the door open and make people aware of it. That's a massive issue that every church pretty much, I would assume, is struggling with. Is that right?
Yeah, obviously, you know, some more than others. I really appreciate Andre, the master of metaphor. I think the emergency procedure illustration is brilliant. And for those of us in pastoral ministry, we need to secure our own mask before we help somebody else. And so it really begins with us. But this has been an area that, and Joy can attest to this, where pastors have been resistant to training. I still haven't figured out why. I really don't know the mystery of it, but we're just now beginning to see pastors, I think, seeing a need for this. I do praise God for all of the training resources, including, you know, what the SBC has just produced with Becoming a Church That Cares, but then also with all of the receptivity we've been getting. So now is the time for the pastors, especially there in the Raleigh area, to come together and to get this initial education on the problem, the dynamics, and the impact, so that they can lead informed discussion with their elders about, you know, what's our practical response to this? How will we have a practical theological response to a real theological problem in marriages?
Yeah, so important. And we're talking about these events that are coming up April 2nd, pastoral and ministry leaders session, and then the next 2 days, April 3rd and 4th. Just go to calledtopeace.org. That's T-O, calledtopeace.org, and hit the events button, and you'll be taken over there. Tell us real quick, Chris, what you're going to be kind of teaching and leaning on and training on while you're here.
Sure. I'm really looking forward to the first day with pastors. We're going to be talking about implementing teams, understanding some of the theology surrounding the problem, looking at safety planning and different aspects of response, but really coming at it from a theological, ecclesiological perspective. So I'm really looking forward to that. The next 2 days will really be wisdom-themed as we think about responding wisely to the problem as a church, using the Proverbs to kind of and Psalms to kind of guide us in understanding how we can wisely address myths, how we can wisely confront abusers, how we can wisely care for victims. Because really the big myth, if we're just going to be honest, in the church, has been a misinformed or an ignorant myth, not a malicious myth. And most of the time, we've made some foolish choices because we weren't fully informed or walking wisely.
Yeah, what a great point. And I'm going to finish up with Joy and with Andre here, Chris, but thank you so much for being a part of the show today. Thank you so much for continuing to come back here to my area, to the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area. We really appreciate you, and thanks for being a part of that.
Oh, my pleasure, Steve. And I will see Andre and Joy. I'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Thanks, Chris. God bless you. We'll talk to you later. He's a treasure. What a great blessing to have somebody like Chris involved. So kind of take us through what's going to be happening these 2 days, just functionally, because I also know if people can't get here, because this is in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area, you're also going to be streaming online. So kind of tell us, how do we get involved, how do people get there, and who should be there?
Okay. So you've given them the link to register, and the Thursday event I'm very excited about. It's actually a workshop for pastors and ministry leaders. We will be serving lunch there. It's I can't remember the exact hours. You might have it in front of you, 9 to 4 or something
it
like that.
It is 9 to 4.
9 to 4.
Okay. And we will be talking about developing a church domestic violence policy. It's like Andre said, if you don't know what to do in case of emergency, you'll probably make a mistake.
You got to have those procedures in place.
Mm-hmm. And then also building a team. So that's on Thursday. And then on Friday night, it's just be Friday evening. And then most of Saturday, we're going to be doing the Wisdom Calls Conference, and that will have Chris and I will be doing some teaching on just the dynamics of domestic abuse, but also this is going to be a wonderful event for counselors and pastors, because we're going to have a whole session on, well, from counselors who have missed it.
Yeah.
Like, this is where I missed it, and this is where it fooled me. And so how do you respond to that? And so we will be walking through things like that. We'll have breakout sessions for counselors, breakout sessions for pastors, and breakout sessions for survivors. So, or counselors and people helpers. There'll be something for everybody.
So people that are involved in domestic abuse right now, should they be there?
Absolutely. If they want to come, we will have someone there. We have we always have people standing near the back of the room. So if they get triggered and feel a little panicky, then there will be somebody there to talk to them and pray with them. So we're very aware of that. And it turns out when we first started doing these kinds of conferences, we were trying to focus on pastors and church leaders, but 80 or 90% of our audience was survivors of abuse, because they're going to come. They're going to come because they want to know that somebody's talking about it. Somebody's actually cares. So
I would imagine that would be very helpful, encouraging, and ministerial, just the fact that you're in a situation where everybody knows the truth, acknowledges the truth, and is talking about the truth.
Yeah, it makes so much difference, because for so many years, they may have gone to their pastor and said, hey, this is happening, and the pastor didn't believe them. Or, oh, you certainly are exaggerating things because he's such a nice guy.
Right, all that stuff.
So
now, you
said
this is going to be streamed online, is that right?
Yes, it will be live streamed. So if you sign up, you can watch online live, and we will record it and send it out to participants happens later. Can't talk today. And then I think also if they are want to come in, we will have some cheap hotels or reduced rate hotels
for
them.
Yeah, they're coming in from out of town. So that's April 2nd, which is for pastors and lay lead and pastors and ministerial leaders, and April 3rd and 4th here in Raleigh. Go to calledtopeace.org, C-A-L-L-E-D-T-O, calledtopeace.org. And click on the events button. And then also, if you're just in the middle of one of these situations, reach out to Joy and her team and Andre at calledtopeace.org. You can contact them there and get help immediately. Don't wait and don't put yourself in a box and don't blame yourself. Get the help that you desperately need. Andre, thank you so much for being here. Joy, as always, God bless you. Thanks for being here.
Same to you.
This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever.